And now, enjoy this free JZO Modcast show.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry. Don't you cry.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 159 of Lupa's Bits. I am your host, Lupa, and welcome back to the home studio. I know I missed last week, I'm sorry. A lot has actually transpired since I have landed in Ontario, Canada, not California. Let's see. So I left, the flight was fairly uneventful. There was a lot of turbulence from California to Charlotte, which sucked. I'm telling you, the air should not feel like a bumpy country road. It's just, it should not feel like that. And then I've got a whole bunch of other things I need to tell you, but I just realized I have no housekeeping. Why do I have no housekeeping? Because I made the man in charge of the housekeeping aware that I was going to be podcasting. I mean, I told him about 10 minutes ago. And I still have no housekeeping. So I can wing it. There's housekeeping. Don't tell me no. There's housekeeping. He just doesn't remember where he sent it, how far up the conversation with Tim it is. Because Tim always gets the housekeeping first. And then I get whatever he has sent to Tim, he copies and pastes and sends to me. So I usually have to edit it on the fly because it's geared towards Tim. Yes, my live studio audience is no longer physically with me. He is now on the phone watching and listening. And I'm sure once, you know, he gets back into the swing of being on the phone during a podcast, every now and again, he'll pop in and say something. Right now, I think he's making dinner for the chitlins. It is 9:30 at night in my world. It is 6:30 at night in his world. So, you know, back to the time difference. Okay, so have you picked up your copy of The Murder Society yet? You should. Go get it. It's a good book. Hi, Lily. Now she's going to be on my podcast. Well, the fact that I said hi to her will be on the podcast. Anyway, so go pick up Jessica Alexandria's book. We are now offering our books on Kobo. Right now, the only book on Kobo, which is, you know, ebook format, is mine, Eternally Bound. We will be adding more over the next, I don't know, however long it takes me to do it. I'm not going to give you a time frame because I am the one that has access to the account. So I am the one that has to take the manuscript and the cover and then put it up there and do all the things. So let's see. We just had James Rumpel's ebook. Wow, that was hard to say. So his ebook was just launched, Escape. He was the second place winner for the Open Contract Challenge 2023. And his ebook just came out, Escape. It is a really, really cool little book. There are riddles and puzzles that you have to solve. I mean, you don't have to solve them to enjoy the story, but they're a lot of fun to try and decipher the codes and get into the treasure hunting and solving all of the codes and the mysteries to find the next piece of treasure and figuring out how the lead character solved this particular puzzle by solving it yourself. It's really cool. So kind of remember those back in the days, you know, pick your own adventure kind of games or kind of books where, you know, you'd solve this little puzzle at the end of it and then it would tell you, give you the page number to go to, kind of like that, but you don't have to go to a particular page number. That's really neat. So it's available now on MythMart, and we do now have ebooks on MythMart. So you can now purchase ebooks on MythMart. So go and get James Rumpel's ebook. It is selling very well. Let's see. What else? Week two of our American Smash comic strip has been released. You can find that at Dark Myth Comics on Facebook or my page or Dave's page. You can find it. It's out there. Go find it. And it is week two of the weekly comic strip leading up to and giving hints about the storyline in our comic book that is coming out on Free Comic Book Day. Now, this is kind of a prelude, an introduction to Hero and Sidekick, who are the main characters of American Smash, and the comic that we are giving away on Free Comic Book Day is, if you haven't read the one-shot, then it is pretty much an introduction. It picks up where the one-shot left off, and it's a kind of an introduction to the characters and who they are, their personalities, who really, you know, does all the heavy lifting and who is the brains of the operation. And just little FYI, it is not the same person. So go and check that out and see if you can't find the hidden Easter egg in each strip. So we are on week two. So you should be able to, by week two, you should be able to start seeing something familiar in each of the strips. There's one thing that will be familiar. It won't be exactly the same as it was the week before, but it will be similar, if not very familiar. Let's see, what else have we got for housekeeping? Ontario weather is cold and I don't like it. I think that might pretty much be it. We did manage to reach all 50 states and one province. So on Free Comic Book Day, American Smash half will be will be in. Actually, I think it's one and a half because it would be. It's not issue one, but there is the one shot. So is it? Are you eating my cheese? You're eating my cheese. That's my cheese. You're eating my cheese. That's not my cheese. Whose cheese is it? Oh, is it your cheese because I left it there? Oh, he's eating the baby Goudas, the baby bells. He's eating the little baby bells, the waxy cheese. I love those. Anyway, okay, so it is half. So the one coming out on Free Comic Book Day is American Smash issue half. Half issue. I don't know. It's an entire comic issue, but it's half. So because it's kind of in between. It's not issue one. So it's half, like 0.5. Anyway, it's good. You'll love it. I was there when it was created. I watched it form and grow and become the entity that it now is, and I take full responsibility and ownership of one of the names of the characters. Drawing that out there. And I edited it too, so my name's on it. And I may or may not, it all depends right now on how things go, be doing a comic book signing at the comic shop in Chatham. But I gotta sneeze. I have some things that have to be worked out first. So As you all know, I have been going on this weird, wild, wonderful roller coaster of a spiritual journey for quite a few years now. Probably started maybe 4 years ago. I mean, it's kind of been back and forth for 20 some odd years, really. And about 15 years ago, I started doing research into what the pagan community called Christian witches. And they were people that believed in energy work. They believed in vibrational energies and all of that stuff. But they still held to their Christian beliefs as well. So I thought that was really interesting, and it kind of made my Christian part of me, the part that I found comfort in, the part that I grew up with, the part that I would turn to in some really, 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 really trying times in my life, especially as a young child, a young woman. So it kind of gave me comfort knowing that there were people out there that had amalgamated both sides of their belief systems and were living quite comfortably, quite happily in doing that. Now, in the process of that and in the doing of that, when you publicly say that is what you have done, you get shunned by both sides. You're not pagan enough for the pagans. You're not Christian enough for the Christians. So you tend to just kind of smile and nod and keep your beliefs to yourself and do your own thing. And over the years, I very slowly, very quietly, very non-observant-like, extracted myself from community. I stopped going to rituals. I stopped publicly practicing what they were practicing because my heart wasn't in it. I mean, I do my own things. I have my prayers. I have my things that I do, but I don't need to do them for the public. And I felt hypocritical. I felt like a fraud, really, standing in circle and participating in these things when I didn't wholeheartedly believe in what they were doing and didn't completely buy into the story. So I can't see your face because my fat head's in the way. There we go. I just happened to look over and realize that his face was my face on his body. It was a very strange looking experience. Anyway, so when I came back, when I came back from the States the first time, I was fully immersed in the culture. I had the jewelry, I had the clothing, I had the crystals and the rings and the jinglies and the, I had it all. And I wore it all, you know, with pride. Well, yeah, with pride. But yeah, I wore it all. And now that I am much older and much wiser and have put a lot of years between me and then, and a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom, I realize I was a fluffy bunny back then. You don't need the clothes. You don't need the jewelry. You don't need the accoutrements. And when I was taking classes to learn how to harness my own power, which as a Christian, you also believe in, that you have your own power, your own strength, your own energy. And we learned it in Sunday school as the power of prayer. when you learn it in the community, it's the power of ritual, and they call prayers spells. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I was going somewhere with that, and I don't remember where now. Butterflies! Butterflies! I tell you, butterflies are rampant today. So, yeah, when I came back, I was fully immersed in all of that. I joined a community, a local community group, and we celebrated all of the high holidays. We did all of the things. I ran some of the rituals for the high holidays. I did all of the stuff, but I never really felt it, you know? Like, I would have glimpses of it. I would have a moment where I would go, was that maybe? And I mean, everybody else going, oh, it's all wonderful. And oh, can you feel that? And I've got chills. And I'm over here going, I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe. But I tell you, I was great at faking it. Oh, yeah. I was great at faking it. Yep. I am an excellent, excellent observer. I have chameleon-like qualities, even, because I can blend into any situation, any scenario, any conversation. And just by sitting back and listening, I can pick up enough that I can contribute to that conversation and make it actually sound like I know what I'm talking about. So I began to become the chameleon. And I don't know how. I gained respect in the community. People respect me. But mind you, I was very quiet too. And yes, I won't lie. I did study. I did do my homework. I do know what I am talking about. And I do know how to do the things, whether or not I actually felt what they claim you're supposed to feel is another story. It wasn't that I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know how to do what I was doing and I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing, because I did. I knew all of those things. I was a model student. I knew all of those things. I just wasn't getting the spiritual charge, I think you would call it, that I was looking for. And I wasn't getting the comfort. I was getting some of the comfort, but that comfort was coming from being in the forest by myself, swimming in a lake, being surrounded by water by myself, listening to the birds, sitting beside the river, going for a walk in the bush, exploring places, coming into contact with certain kinds of energies, paranormal for the most part. Yeah, I can feel those, no problem. I can channel those 9 times out of 10 against my will, and unbeknownst to me, all of a sudden, boom, there it is. But I wasn't getting that out of body spiritual connection that you see with some people in church and you see with some people in circle. And I wanted it. I desperately wanted it. Couldn't find it. And to be honest, I still haven't quite found it yet. I've had moments that have given me chills. I've had moments that have brought me to my knees, in both sectors. I have had moments that have brought me to tears. Prime example, Easter. I got up before, okay, hang on. I got to fix this light or it's going to give me a seizure. That's the wrong way. Okay. The other one. It's over here. Hang on. Bear with me, because it's like flickering like crazy, and it's driving me Yes, it's very distracting. Ha, there we go. Okay. So, as I was saying, Easter, prime example. I got up before the rest of the family because I was cooking Easter dinner. And Dave's mom was coming over. And I thought, you know what? There are certain Christian songs that I really enjoy. I really like, have ever since I first heard them, I connected to them. So I made a playlist. And there's one that I have listened to. Let me see. When did this song come out? Oh, I'm so sorry you feel that inadequate. I don't know if you heard the squeak of the tires. Somebody tearing around a corner. Yes, yes, he has that syndrome. Okay, so this song came out in 1994. So I have been listening to this song for 10 years. No, 20 years. Why did I think that it was only 10 years? 20 years. 30 years. I've been listening. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have been listening to this song for 30 years. I love it. I know it off by heart. At one point in time, I actually rewrote it to reflect the spiritual path I was on at the time. And I've always just, I've really enjoyed the song, but I've never really connected, like had an emotional connection to the song. So, I made up my playlist. I had this song, it's called Like a Child by Jars of Clay. I had, where is my phone? And I will tell you exactly what is on that playlist, because I still have the playlist. Oh my gosh, go away. Oh yeah, right. I got to, right. Okay. Remind me, I have to cancel my free trial to, Apple Music so that neither one of us have to pay for it. Okay. So on it, there's Like a Child, I Pray by Brian Andrews. You Will Be Found by Sam Smith and Summer Walker. Kings and Queens. I don't know why that's on there. I don't know. Easy on Me by Adele, which it's hard to explain why that is a spiritual song for me, but it is. And There Is Only You by the Small Town Poets. And Fix You by Coldplay. So playlist starts. I am making the dough because I'm making homemade buns, which were really, really good. They made great sandwich buns too. So I'm mixing the dough and I am starting to sing along with Faith Like a Child. And I think it was like the second stanza in the song, and all of a sudden my throat tightened up. I couldn't get sound out. I could barely breathe and I was crying and I'm like, whoa, what the holy hell is happening to me? This has never happened before. So I stopped the song. I collected myself. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe it's just because it's Easter and I know I'm going home soon. I'm feeling a little emotional. This is the last big meal that I'm going to be cooking before I leave. Let's regroup, take some breaths and try again. Put the song on again. And I couldn't even sing one word without my throat closing and feeling like I was going to burst into tears. So I thought, okay, you know what? Screw it. I'm not listening to that one anymore. And I moved on and carried on and went about my day. So then, was it the next day we went to Walmart or was it that day? It was the next day, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the next day. It was Easter Sunday. That's right. We went to Walmart. We had to get something. It was Saturday that we went. No, it was Sunday. It was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. So we ran to Walmart and I was telling Dave about it. And he's like, well, what about the song Made You Cry? I'm like, I have no idea. So I played it for him And again, brought me to tears. And what the hell? Still don't know. Still haven't sat down and actually examined that yet. But, whoa, dude, that's a bad spot. Trust me. Almost watched a car accident. I watch a lot of them from up here. I didn't actually think I was going to be in one. So, yeah, I've kind of been exploring that, which I'm leading up to the car accident. So I decided before I left to come home, I decided that I was going to go to church. I was going to go and see if it still felt like it did in my 20s, you know, if it still felt like it did when I was a child. And, I mean, I knew I couldn't take Holy Communion, because of my red wine allergy. Although I don't know, I do have to find out from the church, if they use grape juice or if they use Welch's grape juice, perfect. I'm in, like Flynn, because I can drink that stuff. But if they use red wine or if they use like a red grape juice, I can't. Or, you know, I'm going to take Holy Communion and then somebody's going to have to give me mouth to mouth. Possibly a tracheotomy in the throat because I'm not going to be able to breathe. I'm fairly certain that that would not go over well in the middle. I'm fairly certain that that would not go. Like, you go up there and you take the body of Christ and then you take the blood of Christ and then you're on the floor unconscious, not breathing. I'm fairly certain the next thing they're going to do is an exorcism. Because now I'm choking on the blood of Christ. So, you know, I don't think it'd be a good thing. So I thought, okay, you know what? Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church. So I set my alarm. I was going to get up at 7:30. I was going to have coffee. I was going to have a shower. I was going to take my time, kind of, you know, get myself into the mindset that I'm walking back into a church, my church. Not my church that I went to as a child, but my faith's church for the first time in 30 years or more. Yeah, so I went through about, I first of all, set my alarm, went to bed, woke up, and I'm like, this is awful light for 7:30. I don't know what time it is. I got to pee. So I checked the time and it was 10 o'clock. Church starts at 11. I'm like, oh crap. What the heck? My alarm is, you know, playing away, but I can't hear it. For some reason, there's no sound. That should have been red flag number one. I get up. I put on the outfit that I had originally wanted to wear. And have you ever seen the movie Steel Magnolias? So the skirt that I put on, there's a scene in Steel Magnolias. It's the wedding scene. And one of the aunts is dancing. She's not somebody you see very often. And they're showing the back end of her dancing, her butt specifically. And one of the lead actors makes a comment about how her butt cheeks look like two pigs wrapped in a blanket fighting each other. Well, that's what my butt looked like in this skirt. So I changed that, put on a different top, put on a different skirt. I liked the skirt, didn't like the top. Top didn't fit right. Took the top off, put another top on, thought that's way too much cleavage for church. Took that top off, put another top on. And I finally decided on a turtleneck, a peekaboo turtleneck, mind you, because I couldn't find my other one. And my purple sweater, long sweater, covered up to the neck. Yes, I was church worthy. I was covered from the neck to the toes, top to bottom, long sleeves, whole nine. I looked like I know, not your church, my church. I looked like I used to when I went to church. Anyway, so I have my coffee, brush my teeth, wash my face, out the door I go. That's Catholic. That's Catholic. No, Anglican is different. We don't have to stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, kneel, sit down, stand up, and sit down. We don't have to do that. You get to stay seated for the entire performance. Anyway, oh my gosh, my nose is so itchy. Okay. So I get myself into my car. My phone is in my purse because I'm just literally just going like six doors down the road. I can see the church from my apartment. That's how close it is. Come down the alley. I honk, warning people that I'm coming. I pull out. It's a Sunday, so there's no cars parked. Great. I look to the left. Nobody's coming. I notice the lady sitting across the road at the stop sign. She is at a complete stop. I look to the right. Nobody's coming. I look back to the lady at the stop sign as I inch out. She still is not moving. Therefore, I have now acknowledged her, assumed she has seen me because she has had plenty of time to go, and she has not. I proceed out into the middle of the road and wham! She hits the back end of my car. Spun me so that I now am no longer facing straight across. I am now facing to the left. So when the police came, they actually thought that I was already in that lane heading in that direction. I'm like, no, I was going right down that road right there. I was coming straight across down that road right there. And she hit me and the cop said, oh, so when she hit you, she spun you. And I'm like, uh-huh, she sure did. That's how hard she hit me. $5,805 worth of damage to my car. Thankfully, I have insurance. I was not injured, thankfully. I'm very sore. I'm very stiff. Dave thinks I may have mild whiplash because I do have some neck pain today and a headache. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I will just have them check it out when I get there tomorrow. But the back end of my car? Needless to say, I couldn't open the passenger door. I tried. Trust me, I tried. The frame is bent and was rubbing on the tire. So, yeah, the frame of the car. The frame. The metal frame. So, we swap information and most of the time, everybody is talking to her. And I'm like, she hit me. I'm over here bawling in hysterics. She's perfectly fine. She's been in and out of her car. She's laughing and carrying on. And nobody seems to be talking to... I'm looking at a cat butt. All of a sudden, there's this dancing cat butt. The police really didn't talk to me much. The firemen were great. I remember, I think his name was Dan. He was a really nice guy talking to me about his mustache. I'm not exactly sure what he said about his mustache, but he was talking to me. He had this really impressive long mustache. And I remember telling them that my dad was a fireman. I was babbling by this point in time. I was hysterical because I'm thinking, like, how am I going to pay for to have my car fixed? What is going to happen? I can't drive my car. I have doctor's appointments. I have things that I need to do. I live in a small town where basically you need a car to get anywhere because there's nothing here. So they tell us to pull in behind the mansion house. So we do. And we swap information. They take all of my information. And I'm basically left sitting in the car by myself. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's taking a statement. I think the officer may have asked me at one point in time where I was going and what I was doing. So I told him where I was coming from, where I was when she hit me, where I was going. So now I drive my car back across because it's right across the road. So it didn't have to go very far. I put my car back in my parking spot. And now I have the joys of dealing with insurance. I have to file an insurance claim. So I wasn't exactly sure what kind of insurance I still had because my ex pays for my insurance. It's part of our divorce agreement. He was to make my car payment, which apparently he's paid off my car, and he pays my insurance until I'm married or I can afford to pay my insurance myself. So he's paying my insurance. And I wasn't sure if he had like downgraded my insurance to the basic lowest common denominator so that it was cheap. I didn't know. So I get a hold of him and I get the insurance information from him. And then I give that to the police officer because do you think I can honestly think of where my pink slip is? I have no idea where my insurance papers are. I knew where my ownership was. I found my ownership, but I have no idea where my pink slip is. And in Canada, we call insurance pink slips, not ownerships, because our ownerships are green. I have absolutely no idea. I thought my insurance papers were in my wallet, but apparently they're not. I don't know what this is. All this is. And then I thought they were in my planner, and as I'm finding out right now, they're not. I thought they were in my glove box, and the fireman said they're not. So I don't know. So Phil sent me pictures of the insurance policy. So I could give the information to the police officer to prove that, yes, no, I do have insurance. and I came home. So then I had to get a hold of him again. Tell you, I talked to my ex more in the last week than I have in the last 6 months. I'm thankful that he's talking to me and he's giving me the information that I need, but that is way more than I want to talk to him. But, you know, just putting that out there. Anyway, that clock looks really weird from this angle. I just looked up and I can see my supernatural clock in the mirror, in the window, reflected in the window. And it kind of looks like a demonic, you know the cat with the eyes? Well, it kind of, hang on, let me see if I can flip you around so you can see it. Kind of looks like the demonic cat with the eyes. You see it? Yeah, it's weird. Anyway. So then I had to get a hold of him again and tell him that he needs to go online because I don't have access to the insurance account online. I don't have access to it. You would think I'm driving the car. I would have access, but I don't have access. So I said, you have to go online. You have to file a claim. I can give you all the information. I can write down. And he's like, why don't I just give you the login and you do it? I said, wow, our marriage all over again. So I went online, which is fine. I would have rather have done it myself anyway. And now I have the login so I can log in and look at the insurance. I have really good insurance, by the way. So I log in, I file the claim, and I get an email from the claims adjuster that says that from what I've said, it looks like I am at no fault. She made a left-hand turn into me from a stop sign, and I won't have to pay the deductible, the repairs, once they get the estimate. The repairs will be covered and I get a rental car. Great. So I'm thinking, awesome. That takes a load off my mind. So then she calls and she says, I have to put down $1,000 deductible right now. Wait, what? Hold on. You got to do what now? She says, but from everything you've told me, it sounds like you're not at fault. And you know, we'll get it changed once I talk to her insurance, the third party insurance. I'm like, all right. So I'm waiting. I take the car gets towed to the dealership. I take a video of my car leaving because it went the exact route that I would have been going to go to church to show my family where I was and what happened. And And the fact that I was in the middle of the road, she claims she didn't see me. I just pulled out. Yeah, that's her thing now. She said she was coming down High Street, and I just pulled out in front of her. She wasn't on High Street to begin with. I was on High Street when she pulled out off of River and hit me.
Hey.
So, anyway. I really want to know if there are... I'm going to actually ask the Mansion House if they have cameras. And I'm going to ask the Fish and Chips place if they have cameras out front that may have caught the accident. And we'll see. Because, I mean, in all reality, maybe I'm remembering it wrong. I'm always careful when I come out of that alley because you can't see 9 times out of 10. And it was a Sunday. There was nobody coming. I was safe to go. She wasn't moving. Away I went. And the next thing I know, I do remember yelling, "No, no, 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 no," as she's turning into me. So anyway, we're on our way. My mom comes yesterday to pick me up to take me to get the rental car because I needed the new credit card because the one I have has expired because they have to put a $200 hold. Okay, fine. So she comes to pick me up. We go and I sign the paperwork for the repairs to start. And as I'm on my way to the car rental place, my insurance adjuster calls me again, or she calls me back. And she tells me that the lady that hit me is claiming that I just pulled out in front of her. She had no time to stop at all. I was just all of a sudden there. And I'm in the wrong. What? That's $1,000 deductible. If my insurance company believes her over me. So I sent my insurance agent, my insurance adjuster. Looks good. The video that I took of me and where I was going, and she looked at a map of, like, a satellite image of where everybody was and all the players in the game and the route that I was taking, the route she was taking, and she still said that it looks like I am not at fault, but she needs to speak to the other insurance company first and see what they're saying. So, yeah, now I'm stressing out about that because I don't have $1,000 to pay the deductible. I may have to start a GoFundMe to try and come up with the money to pay the deductible to get my car once it's fixed, which is going to take about 18 days. But I don't understand why it's $1,000. Oh, yeah, right. That's the collision. But that's if I'm at fault. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going. I don't know what's happening with that. I'm trying not to dwell on it because it really, really, really stresses me out. But the funny thing about all of this is that I was going to church when I got hit. I'm fairly certain God said, not today, not that church. He didn't want me going there. Then who was it? Oh, it was downstairs, not upstairs. Well, then God was protecting me because if she had to hit my driver's door, this story would be entirely different. This story would not have a happy ending because the damage that was done to my back door, she bent the frame of the car. The back door was basically on the back seat. It would have been in my lap. At the very least, my left arm would have been broken. I would have had some broken ribs. If I had been going any slower, I would not be podcasting right now. I can guarantee you that. I would not be podcasting right now. So I'm very thankful for that. My mom, when I talked to my mom, she said that sometimes you get signs that tell you that maybe that's not the right church for you, that might not be the place that you're going to find the comfort that you're looking for. And she is a devout Christian. She is a born again Christian. And she has gone to many churches in places that she's been to because, you know, she goes to church. And she said some churches she goes into and they're very cold, they're very empty, they're very impersonal. And some she goes into and it feels like home. And I think that's what I was looking for. And obviously it's not going to be that church because I'm not going there now. Anyway. So that's kind of what's been occupying my time. Why? Now, that's not why I didn't podcast last week. I didn't podcast last week because last week, what was I doing? Show me the calendar! Last week on Tuesday, I was on a plane. What? I'm looking at you. Oh, yeah, I slept for like 2 days. Once I got home, we left. I got up at 9 o'clock, Tuesday morning. And I finished packing. I finished the laundry. I went around and I made sure I had everything. And then we watched the wrestling that we needed to watch. We watched American Idol that we needed to watch. And we kind of just spent time together. And then the girls came home from school and we had dinner and Dave's mom came over and hung out. It was lovely. It was really nice. We just kind of all spent time together on Tuesday. And I was going to podcast on Wednesday when I got home. Or at the very least, Thursday. So my plane left at 10 o'clock Tuesday night from California at 10 o'clock Tuesday night. I had a 4.5 hour flight, but then you add the 3 hour time difference. We landed in Charlotte, North Carolina at 6 o'clock in the morning. I stayed up the entire flight. I had movies I could watch. I was watching movies. I was watching TV shows. I binged like the entire The Lost Flowers of Alice series on the plane. And then I had 3 hours to kill in the airport. So I found a charging station and sat down and started charging all my stuff, making sure everything was all good. And I was trying to download some more stuff to watch, ended up doing business instead. So I'm firing like rapid fire messages off to Dave about the comic book and stuff we could do and all this other stuff. Just trying to occupy myself for 3 hours. I was a little slap happy by that point in time. So I get on the plane at 9. It's a 2.5 hour flight. I land. Now the flight was delayed. And delayed and delayed. So we really didn't take off till 10, but we landed at 11:30. So it was fine. It was actually only an hour and a half. It was great. Brother picked me up. It was very exciting. And then I got home. They visited for about an hour and they left. I went and got groceries. I'm still awake. It's now been almost 30 hours. I'm still awake. I went and got some groceries and I walked into the grocery store and my mind went blank. I'm like, I don't know why I'm here. How did I get here? And I drove. Oh, I wonder what you're doing. I drove to the grocery store. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And I'm like, okay, coffee. I need creamer. Sutton knows I'm home because I get to the creamer section and ours are open. They don't have doors on them like they do in the stores in the States. They're open shelves. They're refrigerated open shelves. And my creamer is on the top shelf, which is about 7 feet up and angled back because they're angled back shelves. And they're at the back of the shelf. and I can't reach them from the floor. And of course, I'm looking around and I'm looking around and there's no employees. Cannot find an employee anywhere to help me. So I climb the shelves, put my feet up on the refrigerated bin part, climbed up the shelves, reached up, got my thing, jumped down, put two of them in the cart, and all I hear is all around me. There's like six people standing around watching me do this, and they all gave me a round of applause, and I'm like, I couldn't find anybody to get it. I'm just going to get it myself. And the other guy yelled out, you should be hired. Okay, sure, whatever. So I climbed the shelves to get my creamer. And then the next thing that popped into my head is the fact that I've been telling Dave about these cheesy sausages. Shut up, Michelle. Now I hear I hear your voice in my head. Yes, shut up. I've been telling Dave about these cheesy sausages for, I don't know, the last 6 months, and how I love them. They're like a main staple of my diet. I have them in a wrap with a little mustard and some onions. They are so good. I was really excited. It was one of the things that was kind of making coming home palatable because I could eat those. They're here. I couldn't find them in California anywhere. So, Okay. Let's get some sausages. Now I need something to put them in. Do I have onions? No, I've been gone for 6 months. Of course I don't have onions. And if I do have onions, they're growing by now. Or it's onion soup. So I grab onions, I grab wraps, I grab sausages, and then I'm like, do I have mustard? I don't know if I have mustard. Is the mustard in my fridge still good? I stood in the mustard aisle, in the condiment aisle, for 15 minutes debating whether or not the mustard in my fridge would still be good. So I bought mustard. And then I bought orange juice because I was craving, like stupid craving, orange juice. So I bought orange juice. And then I'm like, I need to get out of here because now I'm buying snacks. I went and got Rice Krispers. What else did I buy? I think I bought some mini potatoes. I'm like, I need to get out of this store. I can't stop putting things in the cart. So I pay for my stuff. I get out $60 later. I get out. Oh, I got chicken. I get out of the store. I come home and I can't focus. I can't think. And I remember standing in the middle of the living room and I'm looking at my luggage. I'm like, okay, I need to unpack that. Wait, I need to put the groceries away first. Oh, hold on. I've got to pee. Wait, I got to go get some toilet paper. I'm spinning in circles. Because my brain keeps bouncing from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing that I need to do. By this point in time, I think it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, my brother, when we got to Keswick, my brother, my nephew, and my sister-in-law were hungry. So we stopped at Wendy's and they bought me lunch. It was great. I had a Baconator, had some fries, had a Coke, had a paper straw, almost threw up. It was gross. I do not miss paper straws at all. So I thought, okay, I've already eaten. You know what? I'm going to put my groceries away. I'm going to go pee. Then I'm going to put my groceries away. And I think I'm just going to stretch out on the bed for 5 minutes, watch some TV, and kind of just be still. And I put my pajamas on. I got some comfy clothes on. I got into bed, got under the blankies. And normally, if you know me, you know it doesn't matter what time of day it is that I get home. It doesn't matter how tired I am. I will unpack my suitcases and put everything away before I will go to bed. I have arrived home at 5 o'clock in the morning and unpacked, put everything away, and then went to bed. I went and laid down, which is very unusual for me. Now, I think at this point, I was up to almost 30. No, we were at 44 hours at this point of being awake. No, We were over 30 hours. Yeah, we were almost at 40 hours at this point of being awake. So I just thought, you know what? I'll lay down. I told Dave I was going to lay down for a little bit and watch TV and just kind of chill. And I think I woke up 4 hours later. It was like 9 o'clock. I woke up. As soon as I was horizontal and still, I was out. I don't even remember what I was watching on TV. But I was like 5, 6, 7 episodes later when I woke up. I got up. I told Dave I was awake. I took my nighttime meds. I think we talked for maybe half an hour, 20 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going back to sleep. Hung up the phone. I think I watched a couple of episodes of something and shut everything down, rolled over and went back to sleep. I slept until 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon. That is when I got out of bed. I would wake up here and there and just roll over and go back to sleep, or get up and pee and roll, go back to bed and go back to sleep. And I'm still not fully recuperated from that. I'm still kind of trying to catch up, because not only am I dealing with jet lag, but there was the strain on my body of being up for that long. And I was on the verge of a lupus flare the week before I left, because it was very stressful getting ready to leave. And we'd had some high anxiety that weekend watching WrestleMania 40. Seriously high anxiety. Oh my gosh. I can't even begin to describe the emotions that WrestleMania 40 took me through. Like, it was, that's going to be a podcast in and of itself. Right now though, I can tell you, go Cody Rhodes, my man. Yep. Wait, let me rephrase that. Not my man. He's my boy. Dave's my man. Cody Rhodes is my boy. That's my boy. Sorry, I needed a drink. I've been talking for 56 minutes straight and haven't gotten anywhere yet. Nowhere near what I wanted to cover in this podcast, that's for sure. I mean, I've only touched on 2 things so far. 3. Anyway, so, yeah, I was down and out. There was just no way I could even form enough words into a coherent sentence to podcast last week at all. And then I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment on Monday. Basically almost like the second I came back to Ontario, I get a phone call from Pace Cardiology, which is the, let me tell you exactly what it is, because it's kind of impressive. What PACE stands for. No, not the one. Why does for some reason, my computer still thinks I'm in the States, because it pulled up PACE Cardiology in Phoenix, Arizona. So it's Partners in Advanced Cardiac Evaluation, PACE Cardiology. And my doctor, no laughing at the name, that's in Fontana. No. Apparently there's one in Fontana. So my doctor, Dr. Bradley John Dibble, like Tribble, but Dibble, not Diddle, Dibble. He is one of the top cardiologists in Ontario. Now, he only works out of the Barry Hospital now because, you know, he's old. He's also the regional spokesperson for the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Ontario. He's often on the radio. He's often on TV. My cardiologist is famous. Anyway, I've been on a waiting list for some testing since my Holter monitor before I left. This tells you what the healthcare system is like in Ontario. Yes, we have free healthcare. I had a Holter monitor done in what, October? Was it October that I had it done? So I had it done in October. Apparently it had some concerning issues. And I got put on a waiting list for an echocardiogram, which I'm having tomorrow. And then a stress echo, which I'm having next Friday. So I got a week to get in enough shape to be able to handle the treadmill without throwing up. I'm not allowed to eat. I'm not allowed to have any caffeine. I'm not allowed to, I have to wear loose clothing. Oh, I got to make sure I have a mask in my purse because I have to wear a mask. I'm going into a hospital. I have to wear a mask. I'm going into a cardiac hospital. I kind of want to wear a mask. So I have to wear a mask. But yeah, it was like, it was almost like timed perfectly. I come back and they call and they set up these cardiac appointments and they were supposed to be Monday and Tuesday. Well, the accident Sunday kind of wiped out those two appointments because I couldn't get to them. So, and now on top of that, I was worried because you have to give 48 hours notice if you cancel an appointment or you're charged $75. And I'm like, it's Sunday. My appointment is Monday and Tuesday. Nobody is answering the phones until Monday morning. So I emailed because it said, you know, you can email as well. So I emailed and then I get an automated email response. Great. They've got my email. Oh, well, it's going to take them 72 hours to answer it. No, I have 48. I'm supposed to cancel within 40. Well, crap. I guess I'm just going to have to wait and see. So they call me back to reschedule, which again has me pausing for concern because they wanted to reschedule it immediately, like right away, like no waiting. So instead of being on Monday, it's now tomorrow. They didn't like schedule it next month, you know, like, oh, you have to go back on the waiting list. It could be another couple of months. No, it's going to be 4 days. Okay. Now, Dr. Dibble isn't even in the office till the end of the month. My consultation with him, which again has me going, eh? What do you mean consultation? Consultation for what? I don't want to be battery operated. I mean, okay, you know what? If it's between life and death, I will take the battery. Not a problem. Put it in. Let's go. Keep me pumping. But I don't want to be. It's not something I'm choosing to be. I don't want to be battery operated. And it sure as hell won't be buying my batteries at the dollar store. They don't last very long. Ask your mom. She'll tell you. Dollar store batteries don't last very long. When they were talking about putting an ICD in before, I did a lot of research, and the lifespan of an ICD battery is 5 years. So every 5 years, you have to go in, they have to replace the battery, which means they have to surgically go in and remove the scar tissue because scar tissue grows up around the ICD. They have to remove the scar tissue, and then they have to take the battery out and put the new battery in and place it back in and all of this other good stuff. And yeah, yay. Or they'll put an LVAT in. Wait, what? Okay. Let me tell you what that is. Cause that's fun. Now it is a lot better. For those of you that have watched Grey's Anatomy, Denny had an LVAT and it's not like that anymore. you don't have to have the big battery pack on your back. And, you know, if your wire gets cut or pinched, you got somebody standing there with like, you know, the thingies pumping your heart. Ow. Hang on a second. I just got a really sharp pain in my head. Okay, so what an LVAT is a left ventricle assist device. And it's basically a pump that they use for patients who have reached end of stage heart failure. Ooh. Oh, come on, dude. Can you show me the one with the shark? I know you're laughing because your phone's jiggling. Now you're really laughing. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So, I'm hoping that it's not like if okay. If I need an LVAD, I have at max 5.5 years left. You didn't know that, did you? Huh? I don't. I what? I said he wants me to repeat it. Okay, so left ventricle assist device is usually kept to keep a patient alive until a suitable heart donor is found. So if I have an LVAD put in, then I'm on the donor list and somebody has to die for me to live. That is a hard piece of karma to carry. I've already gone through all of that, and then they said that I wasn't there yet, and I'm like, awesome, because you don't want to pray for somebody to die so that you can live. Like, how do you do that? How do you pray that you get a heart? Because somebody has to die for you to get that heart. A family has to be ripped apart for you to get that heart so that your family's not ripped apart. Now you can't stay, it's not like dialysis or anything. Well, I mean it kind of is, but you have a time limit with an LVAD. And that time limit is 5.5 years. So I am hoping that that's not where they're going. I will take the ICD, which is the pacemaker defibrillator. That's fine. The battery dies every 5 years, not the person. That's a better option for me, I think. So as per research, 80 to 85% of patients are alive a year after having an LVAD placed, and 70 to 75% of patients are alive for 2 years after having it. You can live up to 5.5 years. Yeah. So I don't want one of those. Not even a little bit. I will take the ICD. Nope, not the International Classification of Diseases. There we go. So it's an implant, it's cardioverter defibrillator. It's a battery-powered device placed under the skin that keeps track of your heart rate. Now, when they were first talking about it, my ex, who seems to think he has this amazing sense of humor, told me, "Oh, great! Guess what? It can be hacked because it's a computer program." And I'm thinking, you're a jerk. Thanks for telling me something they're going to put inside my body could be hacked and somebody could stop my heart, you hacker. Great. Like let's not add any stress to an already stressed out and anxiety-ridden person to begin with. And with most cases, you can live a completely normal life after that. Like there's no, I mean, okay, I will have to, good thing I don't put my cell phone to my ear because they say you need to use your cell phone on the opposite side. Microwaves are no longer your friend. Don't stand in front of a microwave and wait for your food to finish. I mean, there are precautions. But we're not, I'm borrowing trouble because I don't know if we're there. But I want to know what the consultation is for. And I'm fairly certain that if my echo and my stress echo show anything serious, I will hear from Dr. Dibble or somebody in the realm thereof before July. Because my appointment, my consultation with him is July. July 11th. So if I don't hear from him, perfect. I am A-okay with that because I have plans this summer. I have made plans. I'm going to do things. I'm going to make some money. So that come September, I can drive my happy little tushy to California for somebody's 13th birthday and then drive home. I'm planning on actually vending at a festival in the end of July, beginning of August. I'm not paying for it either. Somebody has offered very kindly to pay my way in, and we're going to vend together. And two other people that we know are going to be there, so it's going to be very exciting. It's been a long time since I've been to one of these events, so I can only imagine that I will go down the first night to the fire, and I will go, what the fuzzy hell is all this? And I will trot my happy little tushy back to my campsite and go, yeah, you know, if I stay down there, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's not going to be me. It's going to be somebody's feelings. It's going to be somebody's physical body. Let's just not be there. And we'll just hang out at the campsite. I'm not a big, I don't drink anymore. I don't do anything recreational anymore. So I can't see me being up late. And when you're a vendor, you have to be up fairly early because you need to be at your table selling your stuff. Sometimes you get the early risers that, you know, want to buy. So there you go. So that's one of the things I had planned. I am going to New Brunswick, obviously, to see Crystal at some point this summer. I'm going to my sister's on Monday because I was supposed to go Friday, but I have a doctor's appointment Friday and my medications won't be ready until Monday. So I'm going to go Monday and I'm going to hang out with her and the kids and my brother-in-law and see their nice bed and breakfast. And then Thursday, I'm going to babysit the kids and I'm going to teach them all about sourdough. I'm going to give them a science lesson on how sourdough is made, that it's a living, breathing organism that needs to be fed and looked after. And I'm going to give them some of my sourdough starter, the powdered stuff, and we're going to start starter for them so that they can have it to bake bread and buns and all of the good things. And I'm going to teach them how to make sourdough starter, and then we're going to bake with my sourdough starter. I think we're making cinnamon buns because, you know, who doesn't like a cinnamon bun? So they'll like that. They'll have a lot of fun with that. And I'm going to turn it into a science lesson because they're homeschooled, so I can. My sister, I asked my sister if she was okay with it, and she said that would be absolutely awesome. She would love that. So now I actually have to do some research into how the gluten is the converted and all of the interesting stuff and the comparisons between store-bought white bread and this bread, and let them smell mine so that they know the difference in the smells. And, you know, it smells different here than it does in California, than it will in New Brunswick, and it'll smell different at their cottage than it will wherever they happen to be staying. It'll taste a little different. Yeah. It's kind of cool. So I actually have two dough balls sitting in bowls waiting to go into the fridge for overnight proofing because my sourdough starter is fantastic. He is an overachiever, let me tell you. And I bought this journal a long time ago. It's supposed to be John's journal, John Winchester's journal from Supernatural. And it's a really bad looking imitation. It's not even like leather. It's cardboard covered in leather looking paper. But it's, you know, it's great. It serves. Oh, it has a little, I didn't know it had that. Oh, cool. But it's got, oh, bedtime reminders. Look at that. Time to wind down. It's got lined pages in it. And I thought, since I have named my sourdough starter Dean after Dean Winchester, what better book to put my recipes in than the Supernatural Journal? All right, I think we're going to start wrapping this up. I do have some Florida man and some Florida woman that I want to share with you guys before I call it a night. Now, we're going to save this particular one for last because it's just that funny. So I was kind of scrolling through and looking at some headlines like this guy, Florida man arrested for shooting wife and then chases ambulance. He's either a lawyer or a dog. I haven't figured out which one yet. What else have we got? Let's see. Florida man. Okay, hang on. We have a Florida man cracking a beer and police involved. So we got to read that one. So a Florida man cracks open a beer as police move in on him because he wants to drink it while it's cold. So people often say it's a crime to let a beer get warm. It really is. And one Florida man wasn't about to put that old adage to the test, even as officers surrounded him with guns drawn while investigating shots fired. In body cam video from the Port Orange Police Department, the sound of a gunshot can be heard as an officer is talking with a man who said his neighbor had threatened to shoot him. Moments later, another round is fired as the officer went in search of the shooter. When the officer finds the suspected shooter, later identified as Brett McPeak, he can be heard telling McPeak to show him his hands and stay put. That's when McPeak asks the officer if he can crack a beer. Before the officer can answer, McPeak tells the officer he's going to crack a beer. The officer can be heard asking if McPeak has a gun on him. He says no, but admits that firearms are in the house. McPeak goes on to say, "This beer is cold, sir, and I want to drink it. I just want to drink this beer. Is that cool?" Eventually, officers were able to negotiate with McPeak and take him into custody. While police say McPeak did not have a gun on him at the time of his arrest, two handguns were found on his property, including a 38 special revolver with a spent shell casing. Sounds suspicious. McPeak has been charged with aggravated assault with a firearm and using a firearm while under the influence of alcohol. Oh, you know what? That is like the age-old trick in that is the oldest trick in the book to get out of a DUI. So, had a friend got into an accident. He had been drinking. He had been drinking heavily. Got into an accident in a minivan, rolled it in the ditch. He claims three deer jumped out in front of him. I'm fairly certain there was only one, but he saw three. So, instead of phoning the police right away, he was drunk. Instead of phoning the police right away, he walked home. He wasn't very far. He walked home and he told his dad what had happened because, you know, he was 30 something and lived with his parents. Told his dad what had happened. And his dad proceeded to mix him a drink. I do believe it was rye, and said, "Drink this quickly." And then his dad called the police, and the police showed up, and he still had the rye and coke in hand, drinking it. And the officer said, "Well, were you drinking at the time of the accident?" And the gentleman said, "No. But I was so shaken up, I had to come home and have a couple of shots to calm my nerves." Boom, they cannot prove you were under the influence while driving. Do not attempt that and do not attempt it and then say, "Well, I heard it on a podcast. I am not endorsing this behavior." He was not a Florida man, he was a Georgia man. I mean, the two states are side by side, so, you know, some of the stupid dribbles down. And you shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but. Come on now. Some of the stupid dribbled down. That was just a stupid thing to do. He was mad at his girlfriend and he took off in her car and rolled it in the ditch. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, he had a couple of shots and the police can't prove because they've seen him in his own house on private property consuming alcohol. They can't prove that he already had alcohol in his system. Because by the time they get him to the police station and they take his blood, the alcohol he just drank will be in his system. They don't know how much he drank before they got there. They have no way of proving that he was under the influence while driving. Now, if they had looked in the minivan, they would have found the empty beer cans under the seat.
Anyway.
Okay, so, yeah. I bet you that's, he was trying to get out of being charged with using a firearm while under the influence by drinking it in front of the cop and saying, no, I wasn't drunk. I had the beer in front of you. You watched me. There was no firearm in my hand. Yeah. So. All right, let's see what we got. Let's do a couple more, and then I will drop the good one on you. What the? TikToker says, okay, so these are, I don't know what these are. These are Florida man stories. So TikToker says, dad abandoning family for breakdancing dreams is her funniest childhood trauma. Dad left his family to pursue his breakdancing dreams. Oh, dude, just worm your way out of that one.
You like that, huh?
The worm. That was good, I know. Oh, dude. Florida man arrested after picking up 16-year-old girl from World of Warcraft encounter with intent to marry. Telling you. People that play that game are creepy, and I know a couple. Okay, so this is in Florida. But, like I said, the stupid tends to trickle out of the state. Alabama man arrested after stripping naked, jumping into aquarium, and knocking himself unconscious at a Bass Pro Shop. Not even at like an aquarium or something, at a Bass Pro Shop. Oh wow, dude. So Florida man shoots deputy. He shot the deputy. Not the sheriff, he shot the deputy. Sets house on fire after lengthy standoff over stolen cigarettes. Yep, stolen cigarettes. There's the giant hamster wheel again. Florida man arrested by Coast Guard while trying to cross Atlantic Ocean in a giant hamster wheel. Oh, wow. So a Florida man known as Dr. Deep Sea. That's deep sea, not deep throat. Deep sea. Resurfaces after breaking record for longest time living underwater. No, thank you. Nuh-uh. I do not want to be sitting on the toilet, taking a pee, and having a great white swim by. Because you know what? I'll be doing more than taking a pee. But I will be in the right place. I saw this TikTok of this, the only underwater hotel. The entire hotel room is underwater. And, like, he was showing me the sitting area, and, I mean, there are fish swimming by, and he's showing me the bathroom, and, like, you sit on the toilet, and you look out into the ocean. No. Because I would be sitting there, and all I would see is dun it, dun it, dun it, coming, like, right at me. Right at me. Yeah, no. Nuh-uh. No. Oh, here's a good one. Florida teacher fired after making students write their own obituaries. I actually seem to recall doing an exercise like that in English class. We had to write our own obituaries. I can't remember why, but we did. Oh, dang! Only one man will be charged in Florida road rage incident where two fathers shot each other's daughters. Like, wait, what? Okay. He was only hoping for a happy ending. Florida man arrested after allegedly holding masseuse at gunpoint and demanding sex act. He went to the wrong massage parlor. He wasn't getting a happy ending in a legit one. Oh, why? Why? Five Florida men sentenced to prison for stealing $1.3 million worth of perfume. Perfume. You ain't going to get that Florida stench out like that, I tell you. Well, Florida man gets prison sentence for fraud charges. Previously served time for practicing medicine without a license. How, like, do people not think to check? Wait, what? Oh my God. Okay, so you know what? Hands off is a thing. Don't touch without consent. Male or female, doesn't matter. Don't hug somebody without saying, do you mind if I hug you? But a Florida man was charged with battery after slapping a police horse's butt. A horse! Battery! Like, what? This was bad. This was bad. Bad, 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 bad. Oh, the next one's not any better. Florida man arrested for allegedly having sex. Now, while he was having sex, he damaged the church's nativity scene, okay? So it was a wild romp. But he was arrested for allegedly having sex with a dog in public. A dog! I'm fairly certain that goes against a whole lot of laws. Laws of nature, for one. Florida man who killed couple and chewed on their victims' faces avoids jail time with insanity plea. You think? How did he get it in the courtroom? Okay, even Florida courts are not safe. The courtrooms are not safe. Florida man drinks bleach in courtroom after being found guilty of armed robbery. Okay, first of all, wouldn't he have been in custody? Would he have not have come from jail? Right? So you would think he's in jail for armed robbery. He's been found guilty in the courthouse. Where did he get the bleach? Who gave him the bleach? A Florida honeymooner, among 176 other men, were arrested in a prostitution sting. That's not something that you want to do on your honeymoon. That was weird. Oh my God. Oh, Florida man dies after going into lake with alligators to search for frisbees. Just let him have it. Let him have it. Florida man exonerated after 32 years in prison over mistaken identity. 32 years. It's like David Milgaard, the poor dude. What is that? What is happening? My screen. No, my battery. Your battery. Again. Wow. All right. Florida man arrested after baby alligator, guns, drugs found inside his truck. All right. Don't ever take rideshare. I don't trust rideshare or Uber. Florida man arrested after buying meth and asking cops to test its authenticity. On that note, I am going to lead you into our final Florida man. Except this time it is a Florida woman. A St. Augustine woman with an unfortunate name is facing what is at least her 15th arrest on drug charges. I mean, really, come on. Her parents didn't give her much of a chance. In all reality, her parents did not give her much of a chance. On Saturday morning, police responded to an anonymous complaint and found three people sitting in a car. Police searched the vehicle and found drug paraphernalia and a substance that field tested positive for crystal meth. Crystal Methvin and Douglas Nickerson were arrested on drug possession charges. Yes, you heard that right. Crystal Methvin. Her name is Crystal Meth. Methvin remains in a St. John's County jail. According to online records, she's faced drug charges at least 14 other times. You think? Her arrest record dates back to at least 1998. Yeah. Oh, I thought that said Westboro Baptist's making a comeback. I was going to be afraid. Nope, it's West Shore Plaza. All right, everybody. I think we are going to end our podcast, my podcast, this podcast for this week. And I did want to talk about this gigantic, enormous book that I have. It's my friend's book. It's her life. It has become my morning coffee companion as I sit and I drink my coffee quietly in the morning and I read some of her book. It is huge. It's going to take me lots of cups of coffee to get through, but it is giving me an insight into my friend that I didn't know. I've known her for a very long time and I didn't know this part of her. I didn't know that these are the things that she had to go through in her life and that she had suffered. And a lot of it explains why her and I are kindred spirits. So Listen to the Wind Blow by Heidi Holness. I highly recommend you go and pick it up. No, we did not publish it. It is just my friend and it is her book. And it is a great book and you can find it on Amazon. And it's really heavy. It's a really big book. I can't tell you how many pages are in it. Oh, Jesus, Murphy! Oh, my God! Holy Jesus! Oh. I really need to turn the volume down with that. Oh, my God! It's not time for bed. I'm way too awake for that now. Oh, my God. I think I peed a little. I need to turn that off. I don't like that at all. He's not supposed to scare you into going to bed. I just wanted him to announce nicely, it's time for bed. No, instead he yells at me. Scared the crap right out of me. All right. I need to go now because I need to go and change my clothes. And fix that, Alexa. Alexa, volume down to 3. Thank you. Because he's not going to talk to me now. Okay, everybody. You know the drill. Please be the kind friend. If you can't be the kind friend, be the quiet friend. If you can't be the quiet friend, be the spy. Because it's fun. But remember... Remember the absolute law. It never changes. It will never change. Don't lick shit. All right, everybody. Until next week. See ya.
Carry on all the wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry.